It's the Onion Radio News. Teen sex is linked to alcohol and drugs by the Center for Figuring Out Really Obvious Things. This is Doyle Redland reporting. An exhaustive four-year, $23 million study of substance abuse and sexual habits of more than 2,500 American teens has confirmed that young people between the ages of 13 and 18 who drink and or use drugs are more likely to be sexually active. Dr. Gerald Eckersley is director of the Boston-based organization.
We found that this phenomenon also occurs among adults as well as every population everywhere in the world that has ever existed since the dawn of time.
The center has sent a teleprompter-ready press release of its findings to more than 400 local TV news affiliates across the U.S., along with stock video footage of beer displays and teens smoking and drinking at parties. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This is the Onion News Network.
We're back at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. Welcome, fellow conspirators. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and this is your place to gather with people who are plotting and planning and conspiring for the demise of the state. Join us at 603-835-3360, 603-835-3360, your political poison control center. Thanks to LRN, Liberty Radio Network, the affiliates, and those of you who are streaming us at LRN.fm. I have a special opportunity now to not only introduce myself, but also to say, welcome to Liberty Conspiracy Radio. I'm Gard, along with...
Osborne.
And I'm Brett. Gardner, you're going to get us arrested with an intro like that. I'm not conspiring against anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We could get in trouble because God knows, you know, that jurisprudential system that that Constitution protects for us is doing so well right now, isn't it?
No.
Yes, no. Yes.
Is that a drone outside?
Excellent, Osborne. Thank you both guys for joining me on the show, and it's great to have you here, gentlemen.
Great to be here, as
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely. This is really, really cool. And also our thanks to Dale Everett for letting us into his awesome studio and to the massive and awesome talents of Boner Joe for taking care of us technically. Thank you,
yes,
Boner.
Thank you.
Does it count as letting us into the studio when we had to jimmy the lock?
Hey, this is all voluntary, right? We didn't do that. Believe me. Great to have everybody listening to wherever you might be. And I know we have people who stay up late over in England listening to us. So thanks you guys for doing so. I know it's 3 a.m. over there. So if you got to get up early, just tell them you've got an excuse. You were fighting for freedom. We've got a number of stories I'm going to bring up here. And then I just want to throw it out to my co-host, my co-pilots here on the show, Jason and Brett, and also talk about some of the things that might be coming up that might interest you to come to the free state of New Hampshire, where we are all located. A couple things that are in the news that I feel pretty important regarding the news that we need to discuss. First off, if you didn't already hear, the president of Afghanistan, who's, you know, the puppet guy for the United States, Karzai, is calling for NATO and the so-called coalition forces. Hamid Karzai is calling on them to leave Afghan villages and remote areas after a rogue U.S. soldier, this according to Yahoo News, a rogue U.S. soldier did something that evidently none of the other U.S. soldiers have done in Afghanistan. He killed civilians. Yes, but this time they were killed.
This is the first time I've ever heard of such a thing.
I don't know. As far as I know, those 8,000 people who've been killed by the United States government since Barack Obama took office, those civilians, at least 8,000, evidently they were non-persons, you see. So that's probably the deal.
And I think that the most accurate data that we have goes back to, what, about 2006? And something like 12,000, 13,000,
yeah,
civilians.
If you include George Bush's real first big push after he started to shift them over from Iraq, civilians, absolutely civilians. So how many people per weekend is that? We've got some audio that we played once before of Barack Obama. I'd love to play it for you again. And also some audio of the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, talking about how this doesn't change at all the way that the Afghan fighters and the coalition forces believe in the rightness of their cause, the righteousness of their cause, and how they will proceed working together and doing good things for the Afghanis. And so very interesting. We're going to talk about that. There's another story that's out there in the news that I think is it's amusing. It's frustrating. It's sort of sick. The Rick Santorum campaign has done it again. Yeah, Jason Osborne gets to enjoy this one a lot. I remember the first time we did the radio show, Brett, Jason, like, yeah, you know, what do you want to talk about? I was like, well, we can do this. He goes, how about we talk a little bit about my buddy Santorum? And I was like, oh, yeah. And Rick Santorum says that he, if he were president, would crack down on internet porn.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He says the Obama administration has been absent without leave. They have been shooting blanks. They have been flaccid on the subject of porn on the internet. They need to stiffen up. They need to get tough, and they really need to whip that in the ass. Oh, sorry. am I revealing too much about myself? But anyway, yeah, so
I don't know.
But, yeah.
So that's one of the stories. And the U.S. Postal Service is also in the news. We have some entertaining audio that you might want to hear. And there's a story out of Arizona that we covered last night, which is really revealing of the way that people look at the relationship between these so-called owners of the means of production who are now going to be forced by government to have to get health insurance policies that cover virtually everything the politicians want them to cover, regardless of the personal feelings or morals of the owner of the business. And those people who are the employees who claim that evidently that if they can't get everything they want, somehow they're being abused by the employers and they have no choice. So that's an interesting one, obviously has to do with the so-called contraceptive coverage. So gentlemen, Brett, Jason, welcome to the program again and take your pick, whatever you want to discuss, guys.
Oh, I don't know. All of that sounds just terrible.
Like, and I
this
know
is the, this is what's going on out there.
That's,
you know,
true. And we do want to get the positives out of it that free markets can provide too. So we're going to work on that too.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm interested. I'm always interested in hearing what Obama or someone like Leon Panetta has to say, because I think it's worth, and it's a little instructive and constructive to be able to break that down and look at the way they use language to basically manipulate whoever they're talking to.
All right, all right.
And some are better at it than others. I think you said Panetta was a very slow
talker.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, before the show, everybody, I was mentioning to Brett that old skit from Bob and Ray, the slow talker, the Slow Talker Association? Association. Being the interview, it's hilarious.
I'm totally unfamiliar with what that is.
Yeah,
but
I'll see if
slow
I can
talking,
it.
When you're trying to be manipulative, slow talking is not good. You want to talk fast.
Yeah,
you wanna,
go past what you just said.
You want to say your crazy thing that you just expect everybody to buy, but don't even pause for a second to give them a chance to think about it. Just launch right into the next thing that you want to talk about. So slow talking, not good for, you know, Obama's not the fastest talker.
That shows
a lot of skill to be able to be manipulative and still kind of smooth and slow.
To say nothing so slowly is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at old footage of like Mussolini, or they're going
nuts.
That's right. They don't even pause.
Get
they're
everybody
shaking.
Frothy. And
a lot of handshaking, hand gestures too, is good.
Yes.
Because it gives people, like, it's kind of hypnotic almost, or it's at least distractive.
Wow, we need a camera here. We'll have to start doing that. And we'll get more status to watch. Just watch us. Just watch us. Actually, we want people to listen to what we're saying because we hope it has value and
indeed
it convinces people. So, Osborne, what do you say? You want to go with this Afghan thing first?
Well, I think maybe we should maybe tell knock-knock jokes for a little while, at least until a caller calls in, and maybe they can tell us what we should talk about.
All right. 603-835-3360. Here, I want to play for you a little bit of, let's see, which one do we want to play? First, let's play... let's do this. Let's go with Barack Obama and his statement over the weekend about the killings in Afghanistan.
Over the weekend, as many of you know, there was a tragic incident in which a number of Afghan civilians were killed. What I've made to President Karzai when I spoke to him is that the United States takes this as seriously as if it was our own citizens and our own children who were murdered. We're heartbroken over the loss of innocent life. The killing of innocent civilians is outrageous, and it's unacceptable. It's not who we are as a country, and it does not represent our military.
Okay, I'll pause it right there.
Yes, because that's a lot to process.
Yes.
So I was just doing a little bit of math in my head. So earlier we were talking about 8,000 civilians have been killed in Afghanistan.
Yes.
You said
during his administration.
Just during the administration.
That's
I'm looking at numbers.
Yeah.
And of course, like I want to say, we don't want to make light of this at all because like this is 12,000 people. I mean, that's people in this country remember 9/11. They remember the feeling of that happening.
Yeah.
This is four times that in Afghanistan alone. Not even counting Iraq, which is over 100,000, and that's a very conservative estimate.
And it's a tiny country. Oh, hey guys, we're just up against the clock for our first break. Folks, if you want to reach us, 603-835-3360. It's Gardner
and Osborne. Come back and hear the end of my math problem.
And I'm Brett. Call in, please.
We'll return after we hear from the folks backing us up at Liberty Conspiracy Radio on LRN. We're back at Liberty Conspiracy Radio, LRN, the Liberty Radio Network. Go to LRN.fm to stream us. Head over into the chat room and offer some opinions there. Go to our forum at libertyconspiracy.com. Don't forget, iTunes, find us there under Liberty Conspiracy, and Podomatic as well. And our phone number, 603-835-3360, tonight to talk about freedom. We're going straight through till midnight, and we're talking about some stories that might allow us to study the concepts of liberty versus the state in a way that will let you sort of take some of these thoughts with you. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, along with
Brett.
That's never been done before. Oh, that was brilliant.
Okay.
Live
I'm
radio.
Roll with it.
Yeah, and Osborne.
And Osborne, and it's good to have you here.
I'm the second person to ever do that.
It's great. That was so great. Oh, man.
It could have been delivered. I think Jason Osborne has a look on his face like that could have been a little smoother.
He could have done it better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's something we could have talked about that, before the show.
Yeah, it was all scripted. We worked this out.
It was funny.
Right. No, that was, I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
That was excellent.
We're all night.
Tip your waitstaff. Yeah.
So, we've been discussing, a few stories that are out there in the news. One of the big stories, of course, that Ahmed Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, is asking the coalition forces to be drawn out of the villages of Afghanistan because, of course, a U.S. soldier allegedly murdered some civilians. Now, there are a couple aspects of this I want to discuss in a little while, but Osborne was offering us some thoughts. We just listened to a little bit of the President of the United States after the weekend where he came out on the West Wing lawn and said, "This is not how we are as a people, sweetie." And so, Brett, Jason, you guys wanted to discuss a little bit of what we played, and we can play some more as you analyze what he said and the fact that 8,000 people have been killed since January of 2009 under him, and Osborne's got some good thoughts on that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so consider the following word problem.
Yes.
You become president. In 3 years of being president, you kill 8,000 civilians. How many civilians is that, on average, per weekend?
Oh, well.
Tick, 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 tick. It's 52.
Yeah.
That's 52 per weekend. This weekend was 16. That's less than one-third of the normal average weekend. And this, for some reason, is called a tragedy.
Yes.
And the other ones are kind of ignored.
Well, the tragedy in government is having to be held accountable for this kind of stuff.
Oh, that's great. Great statement.
And I think what's eerily absent from this story, but I think very important, is what's the story with the soldier? You know, before we get into Obama's, rhetorical management of the crisis, far as how he kind of, we're all real broken up about this.
Yeah.
What's the backstory on this soldier? Do we know anything about this? Because it seems to be like as far as where he came from or what was behind this completely senseless act.
Yeah.
All I know is that this is somebody who suffered some kind of injury. Like a year prior.
Yeah, and I heard something about alcohol being involved. Of course, alcohol.
That could be
involved.
I definitely heard that there was a brain injury some time ago,
mm-hmm.
and he was back here in the States, and then they sent him back for more foreign duty with a brain injury.
Because the war on terror has to continue.
So there's probably medication involved in that too.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to speculate, but I think that if somebody, there's numerous reasons. I think that even if it's just speculation, these are things that happen, whether we're talking about people in Afghanistan, people in Iraq, people in Vietnam, right?
Gulf War syndrome,
not Gulf Storm.
Desert Storm.
Desert Storm.
Yeah.
People need drugs and alcohol in these situations. Like, people who are not monsters often need drugs and alcohol. I mean, this was very, very heavy in Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of people got into a lot of drugs, and also, a lot of alcoholism came back.
Yeah, true. Guys are totally messed up a lot
absolutely.
When they came back.
Absolutely.
And some of the things that they did or they were commanded to do. And it's something I want to add to the mix to this, guys. And I'll introduce it now. We can talk about it in a certain order if you want to get to other things. But I was listening to a radio show on Friday and it had to do with a U.S. soldier. The topic dealt with a U.S. soldier who had posted some criticism of the medical fascism law that Obama and Pelosi and those people pushed through. And he's in the military. And now he's facing a possible discharge, possible dishonorable discharge. For expressing opinions that run contrary to a public policy position of the president of the United States. And the thing that gets me about it is that I was listening to the phone calls to this Boston Talk radio show, and they had 20-year veterans of the military calling in, and it was 3-1 from the calls that I heard and while I was waiting on hold to get in, because these guys were saying, and this is for the so-called constitutionalists out there, but it exposes how the piece of paper doesn't stop these things from happening or stop the mentality of the Klan, of nationalism, of so-called patriotism, of blind following of orders. They said, when you get in the military, you swear an oath to follow orders. And then finally, somebody called in and said, no, actually, you swear an oath to defend the Constitution and to follow legal orders.
Yeah.
So if you were given an order that is not legal based on the Constitution, then the host said, well, what are you supposed to do? How are you going to have everybody interpreted out there on the battlefield? It's like, well, the point is, you don't have the battlefield unless it's done constitutionally for the constitutionalists out there. But this exposes how dangerous these guys can be, because they think they're working for their neighbors, their family, their friends, defending this country, and that they've got to follow the orders. Doesn't matter what the orders are.
Yeah.
So if it's to go in and wipe out a bunch of Afghanis with a drone, you know, don't say, hey, by the way, you know, that's a wedding party. We might be killing 20 innocent people here. Hello? No. Sorry. Hey, by the way, there's no declaration of war. We're not even supposed to be here. No, sorry. And it really was very scary hearing.
Well, it's the byproduct of training in obedience and nationalism. Like they used to say about, you know, I mean, I understand that it's a little bit incendiary to compare the U.S. military to the Nazis, and obviously there are differences, but, you know, they used to say with the Nazis, they're either at your feet or at your throat, you know, and there's very, very little thinking in between those two extremes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's a little bit what, you know, you're describing here.
Right.
It sounds similar to that, where, the allegiance is to orders that come from whoever the better decorated costume.
And it seems to me that there's this Oz-like curtain thrown over the whole thing that ties into the Barack Obama statement that they can assassinate Americans, assassinate anyone without trial, which is they tell us that we are at war. Right.
Mm.
Except we know there's no declared war because they didn't want to declare war so that they could hold people without the Geneva Accords applying. But actually, they still apply, but they didn't read them right. So if they haven't declared war, then they have to prosecute people that they apprehend on the battlefield as under U.S. code. But they don't want to do that. So it seems to be all tied together to me when you have a president who's willing to assassinate people. And people don't seem to question it. It's all that, well, we follow orders thing. And we're in an emergency situation, so you've got to do what the president says.
Mm, right.
Okay, we'll take a break and return. 603-835-3360 is how you reach us at Liberty Conspiracy Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're back at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. 603-835-3360 is how you get in touch with us. Go to LRN.FM to stream us. Go to LibertyConspiracy.com to weigh in our forum. Right now you're listening to the dulcet tones of Muse and the dulcet tones of Gardner Goldsmith along with...
Not Brett.
Brilliant. How could he top last segment?
He did it.
I'm Brett.
He's Brett. I'm Brett. We're all Brett tonight. It's Bruce, and Bruce tonight. I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. It's good to have you here, Brett.
I have no idea.
I'm just going total Monty Python on you. I'm way out there. I'm out to lunch right now.
Okay. All right.
Good to have you here, man. Yes, indeed. And Osborne, good to have you here.
Thank you, Gardner.
Yeah, I'll call you Sybil tonight. Multiple personalities. We were talking about the murders in Afghanistan and the double standard of the U.S. government, the administration. Evidently, when they order murders to be conducted, that's perfectly acceptable. But when the order has not been given, that's very, very bad. Osborne, you had something you wanted to weigh in on, and we'll take it in a slightly different direction with you, and then some more thoughts after this.
Yeah, basically what you just said. I really don't understand what the fundamental difference is between Barack Obama saying that he can execute people without trial, and this soldier, for whatever reason, thought that, you know, maybe he would just take Obama at his word and he would execute people without a trial too.
Perfectly stated.
I can't figure out what's. Maybe you can. I mean, you went to high school with Barack Obama. You could tell us what's going on inside of his brain.
Well,
he thinks this is good and okay.
In fact, if we had a little echo reverb, I'd be sitting there going, well, sweetie, here's the deal. I don't understand how I don't know. I can't explain it. It's clearly a means to an end. The ends justify the means. And they just seem to really think that Americans aren't going to notice that the population here, except for maybe Judge Napolitano and guys like you and Brett, are, you know, I mean, we're such a tiny minority of people. During the break, we were talking about how I have some, you know, real liberal left wing friends who were so up in arms about what George Bush was doing. And they were right, you know, but they're not saying anything about what's going on now.
There's a man I've been studying named for something that I'm preparing to do on my show.
Yeah.
On the topic of logical fallacies. His name is Bill Maher.
Yeah.
And I was first introduced to Bill Maher probably 2000. I mean, I knew who he was for a long time.
You mean comedian and host?
The comedian and host of Real Time with Bill Maher, who used to be the host of a show called Politically Incorrect.
Yep. ABC.
It was just a non-pay cable, like basic cable show. It was on
after Nightline.
It was on a network, right?
Yeah, it was on ABC. Yeah.
So when I started watching Real Time with Bill Maher, George Bush was president, and it seemed like this was like this rogue who was going to speak truth to power on all these different issues.
Yeah.
And then when Barack Obama became president, it's like he turned overnight. It's like he turned into the telescreen from 1984. You know, so it's really disappointing to watch President Obama, who is not dramatically different from the previous administration, do the same things. And we see war protests, maybe with the exception of somebody like Cindy Sheehan.
Yes.
We see a lot of war protests just drop, you know, off a cliff on it. Like, this is how many war protests there were in 2007. This is 2008. Suddenly in 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's frustrating.
I haven't looked at this, but I guess, do you think that this is historically the way things go, Jason? I mean, you look at Republicans, they oftentimes seemed very oblivious until maybe the last year of George Bush's administration about the spending of this supposed conservative, or many of them thought that he wasn't so conservative. But I mean, at that point, he was the biggest spender of all presidents until Obama. Now, Democrats seem to not really care about Obama's invasion of privacy and his warmongering. Yeah. I mean, is this common?
Yeah, it's like what do you call – I'm not a psychologist. What is that – projection, when like you get really outraged about what other people are doing because it's what you yourself really want to be doing.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. Any other thoughts that you want to discuss? I mean, we've got We've got a bunch of things that we can get into here about the hypocrisy of the number of people who killed and the assassination things and things like that. The number of stories that are out there that we could cover are myriad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if anybody wants to call and talk to us about this, the number is 603-835-3360. Yeah.
And just before we move on, I think kind of relating to what you're saying, too, that the political side of this is I think we keep trying to look for a reason, like we keep trying to assign some kind of reason why people are participating in politics.
Yeah.
And that it's anything else, anything other than like a game of cowboys and Indians for adults. Like pretending you're part of a group that has some justification for using aggression against some other group, right? And we can fantasize about aggression against our enemies, and it'll just swap back and forth. So right now it might seem like people on the right might be more allies to libertarians. Right, and that's how Ron Paul has been able to get away with a lot more running against Barack Obama than he could from the conservative media anyway, right? And while he's being hammered on a little bit harder by the liberal media, because 4 years ago he's running against Bush and now he's running against Obama. So you see how the conservative media, just a little bit, not that much, but you know, he was enemy number two.
That's right.
It was like Bin Laden and Ron Paul,
right,
as far as the conservative media was concerned in 2008.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's kind of just swapped, and it's more like the Chris Matthews and Lawrence O'Donnell types going after Obama or Ron Paul now.
What do you think about this, Jason? You deal with a lot of people trying to bring them over to the freedom movement and things like that. Do you note that, or you know, or your conversations with friends who work on this? Do you think right now it's easier to convince a left-wing sort of Democrat about the principles of freedom by hitting certain issues, or do you think it's easier to hit a sort of traditional conservative? It seems like the traditional conservatives are so, oh, we got to stop immigration, we got to stop, you know, the brown people from crossing the borders, and we got to continue this war on terror and all these things.
You know, historically, I would have told you the opposite. Like, I always had an easier time talking to liberal people than conservatives, because they're just all about just hate. Yeah. They want to kill the brown people. They want to kill people over there. They want to kick the Mexicans out of the country, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And now the liberal people, they're just so in love with this Barack Obama guy. They just love government so much, and you can't convince them otherwise.
Yeah, towards the end of the Bush administration, it was great. I could talk to left-wingers, and they would listen to me. And now that Obama's in office, they're not listening to me. And it's the conservatives now who are leaning a little more libertarian that I've noticed, just in personal conversations. What do you think, Brett?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And I would say exactly the same thing, that right now it would I have an uncle who's very liberal, right? And our conversations when George Bush was president and I was speaking a very similar language, maybe not as refined, but a very similar language to what I speak now, our conversations, our interactions when we were talking about politics were far more placid.
One was incendiary. Right,
For the last couple of years. But right. I have a sense that he and I will be allies again if Obama is a one-term president, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he is waking up to some of the stuff that Obama has done, for sure.
What's hilarious is how people react to this what they perceive as a dichotomy, right?
Yeah.
So rather than saying, oh, Gardner, oh, Brett, you are so logically consistent in how you addressed this past administration and now how you are addressing this current administration. Instead, it's, oh, you're just a cynic. You just hate everything.
Yeah, when you happen to bring up...
You just have to be contrary all the time.
Something that bothers them immediately shuts them off to anything that you're going to be discussing. You're the cynic. Yeah, that's a great point.
My dad called me a cynic today.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because I was talking about Mitt Romney. We'll get into that after... in a bit. Oh, jeez.
Don't say the naughty word.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to return. Keep it tuned here on any of the LRN signatory stations. Go to LRN.fm, and we're going to hear from Brett and Brett, or Osborne and Osborne, and you, 603-835-3360, Liberty Conspiracy Radio.
Break.
We're not supposed to.
We're back at Liberty Conspiracy Radio, 603-835-3360. If you want to be part of the conspiracy we have in the studio right now is...
Osborne.
And Brett. I'm not part of any conspiracy.
That's right. And I'm LG Grande, the G-man with my G-plan. I'll tell you why they call me Grande later on, ladies. 603-835-3360. And that brings us to a new topic, gentlemen. Which is pornography.
Nice. Yes. Yes.
Good porn. Segue, sir.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Thank you. Survey says, va-voom. Rick Santorum is in the news. Is that pornographic for you enough? Pornographic enough, gentlemen?
Yeah, Rick Santorum, let me tell you something just real quick.
Okay.
Rick Santorum, they are going to do a porn parody of, like they did with Sarah Palin.
They have to.
That's it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's not the style of porn I get into, Gardner.
Oh, it's amazing. And the greatest thing is now with these new L.A. County rules, if they do a Rick Santorum parody in Los Angeles, in order to get a license to film a professional film, they're going to have to make sure that the Rick Santorum double wears a condom. So right. I was just wondering how they're going to police that one. But Rick Santorum is in the news. So
can I be the condom pornography police?
That's exactly what I was wondering. I was like, a friend of mine actually worked on a porn film. She was an assistant camera person on it, and she didn't know. She got this offer to do a job, and as it turned out, she went for the weekend, you know, and she's like, yeah, oftentimes she has to do outdoor shoots, worked on X-Files, all the stuff up in Vancouver. Really cool girl. And she goes, Guard, yeah, it was great. I was going to be inside. I was getting great pay, and I walked in. It was a porn movie. She goes, yeah, so I just hung out by the fluffers all the time.
I bet you could. I bet if you just went on Craigslist, like in Van Nuys, California.
Oh, yeah.
That so many of the jobs listed in other or, you know, TV and film have to be like.
Oh, yeah.
I would think it'd be pretty easy to break into that industry if you want to be behind
Absolutely.
The camera.
In fact, I think Rick Santorum would be better served if you went into that industry, don't you, Osborne?
I think we would all be better.
If Rick Santorum, versus being the president?
Versus being the president.
I want to see one porn movie directed by Rick Santorum.
That would be great. Like,
no. Missionary position.
That's a good title.
That's the name of it.
Missionary.
That's perfect. All right. Here's the article. This comes from the Daily Caller. It is by Stephen Nelson, associate editor. He says, Internet pornography could conceivably become a thing of the past if Rick Santorum is elected president. The unapologetic social conservative currently in second place behind Mitt Romney. For the GOP nomination has promised to crack down on the distribution of pornography if elected. Santorum says in a statement posted on his website, quote, the Obama administration has turned a blind eye to those who wish to preserve our culture from the scourge of pornography and has refused to enforce obscenity laws.
I don't know who this R is, but
yes.
I know my culture involves a lot of pornography.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely right.
He used the word scourge.
Yeah, scourge. Absolutely.
Jeez, does he know what a scourge is?
A scourge. I don't think he does know what a scourge is. You know, he's the kind of guy that I mentioned to you guys off the air. He was trying to school this one woman on Socratic dialogue.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I hear this guy make his arguments. He's just sitting there like, I can't even believe this guy even knows the word Socratic, the phrase Socratic dialogue. It's just... He's one of the few people I can say is probably really, really thick. I just can't understand how he can function.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have serious questions about his sanity, but I have that with most politicians, and I think that that's fair.
Well, here's what he says. He says, if elected, he promises to vigorously enforce laws that, quote, prohibit distribution of hardcore, in parentheses, obscene, pornography on the internet, on cable/satellite TV, on hotel/motel TV, in retail shops, and through the mail or by common carrier. I mean,
so he's going to crack down on obscene pornography.
Wait, can you read that?
I don't really.
Can you read that?
And is he the decider? Does he sit and watch all the pornography?
I guess it's sort of like dark chocolate. I don't know.
Guard, can you read the list again of what he's going to do?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Prohibit distribution of hardcore/ obscene pornography, as Jason notes.
Distribution
on the internet. Yeah, distribution on the internet, on cable.
So that means buying it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Two?
On cable satellite TV.
Yeah.
on hotel slash motel TV.
Okay.
In retail shops.
All right.
And through the mail or by common carrier.
Okay. So this would have been very effective in maybe 2002 when people were like, oh, yeah, I'll order something on pay-per-view or I'll pay for pornography. Yeah. My goodness. How long ago was that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it says distribution. I don't know that necessarily connotates payment.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a good point. Yeah, he's got that, yeah.
Everything else on that list, I mean, even though it's a little bit questionable what he meant by distribution, everything else on that list, we're talking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, the amazing thing is, as people have pointed out to me, and, you know, I wrote an article about this and put it in my book, that, you know, they have tried to crack down on stuff that people consider, that more people consider to be harsh and unacceptable, like child porn, and the Supreme Court has struck them down. So to go with the general pornography stuff, to even introduce it, like, you got to wonder what's going through this guy's head. Does he honestly, do you think he really thinks he could get this done, Jason?
You know how these politicians are, right? They just say stuff,
yeah,
right? And they don't actually do it. Like, Barack Obama was going to end all the wars and close Guantanamo Bay. Like, did he actually believe he could do that?
Yeah.
He just said those things because that's what people wanted to hear. That's what he's talking to these Jesus people and getting them to come out and vote because they got nothing better to do than just, like, judge everyone else who's enjoying their freaking life.
And maybe that should be a lesson for people regarding government. And it's not just government that, you know, supposedly is there to protect our property and our lives from encroachments by others, but just the fact that the existence of government will begin to start doing this and to start allowing people to try to do these sorts of things. They tried it in the past in various ways. They tried it with, you know, prohibition of certain behaviors that they don't like. And they will do it no matter what. If you just establish a government, you're going to get the busybodies in there.
Well, I mean, and this is what makes me question, like what Osborne just said. This is what makes me seriously. I'm not saying this, you know, in jest. It seriously makes me question these people's sanity.
Yeah,
is the impact that they if they really believe that. Now, I think that the kinds of people who are attracted to politics are attracted for a mix of reasons. Maybe even some people think that that's really the only way that they could have a positive impact on the world.
Yeah.
But I said this like a year and a half ago. I think I was on Dennis Goddard's show up in Concord. And if you took a homeless person who's insane and they had a sandwich sign on that said, I have the answers, right?
Yeah.
And it had every problem listed below this on like a sandwich sign, every problem that affects our society.
Yeah.
If you took the sandwich sign off, you gave them a sedative, brought them inside, showered them and put a suit on them and put them behind a podium, they're a presidential candidate.
That's perfect.
They're a presidential candidate. These people, and you see how fragile these people are. Like when they start getting subjected to hard questions, they just fall apart.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, well, you see Santorum the other day? Someone's asking him a question about why he voted for No Child Left Behind. He's like, "Why, you should just go vote for Ron Paul."
And he walks away from the guy. Yeah.
He's a baby. He's a little baby.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, I just thought of something as I was thinking about this, how, you know, it's very clear. And some of my liberal Democrat friends pointed out how ridiculous this is and so on. But the amazing thing is that, again, you know, if you flip it around, if you were to have a president say, and we're going to make sure that businesses, all businesses supply hardcore porn, that, you know what I mean? that all retail shops have swank right next to the local car buyer's guide. That on hotel motels TV, you only get, you know, Up From Behind 3, available now. You know, that sort of you haven't seen that yet? It's a great one. No, I'm just kidding.
I get you. It's the title of a porn.
All those things. I don't even know. I'm just making it up.
It is.
It's got to be right now. Yeah. Rick Santorum and Up From Behind 3. We're going into first place. But anyway.
Do you have a funny porn name? Why don't you give us a call at?
It's 603-835-3360.
What, of a name or of an actor? Why don't we have a contest? I'll give somebody a free T-shirt if they, whoever comes up with the funniest, has to be radio friendly.
Yes.
Name. No, we can't do films.
Can it be about? Can it be a name to give to Rick Santorum as a porn actor?
That could be one. It could be any porn name, not the name of a movie, because I don't think the name of a movie can be radio friendly. right? That'd be very difficult. If it's going to be somewhat descriptive. Okay. What'd you say?
Can you say that on the radio? Deep throat anal.
I think you could say
perfect timing.
You could say that all in different segments. You might not want to stick it all together like that. Jeez.
And on that note, really we'll be talking about sticking it all together and deep throat anal coming up more on Liberty Conspiracy. You did it, Osborne. I don't know.
What, was that me?
All right, we're going to take one of those pauses.
Yep.
And return after top of the hour news. Good stuff. Liberty Conspiracy Radio. We're back at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. 603-835-3360 is how you get in touch with us and be a part of the conspiracy wherever you're listening to us. Don't forget to go to Podomatic.com to download our podcasts. Go to LibertyConspiracy.com. You can play them right there, or go to iTunes and you can subscribe. Good to have you here, fellow conspirator at LRN, Liberty Radio Network, 603-835-3360. You're listening to Guard.
And Osborne.
And I'm Brett.
And we are the conspirators for tonight, but don't say that for Brad. It's not a conspiracy. We're not plotting and planning anything other than greater freedom. That's all, right? We're just suggesting.
It's pretty suggestion. Subversive.
Okay. I got to be very careful here because we could be assassinated, right? There could be a drone heading our way right now. So it could be bad news.
Maybe. I guess.
As long as it's...
Anybody could be assassinated. I mean, after all, we're all... American citizens.
Absolutely. And as long as the Obama administration says that we're dangerous, it's okay with me. Right, Jason?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay, great. Okay.
Now, I will say who was that? The FBI director, what's his name, was saying that, it's not really clear whether they can do that here inside the United
States. Wasn't sure about that when...
Once they get that straightened out, then we'll need to worry. But because they wouldn't do it as long as it's not clear, right?
No. They would never do something like that if it were unclear.
It's not so amazing that he said that. Yeah. It's so amazing that he got away with it. The person who called him to the carpet on it wasn't even there. It was like Shepard Smith from Fox News a day later.
You want me to grab a little bit of that audio, my friends?
I'll listen to that.
Right, let's see if we got it here. Here we go. Here we go. And we got to bring this up.
Legal argument.
All right, here it is. All right, here's
the U.S. government now laying out its legal argument for killing American citizens overseas without a trial. But what about targeting people on U.S. soil? Can they now kill American citizens inside the country? The head of the FBI, when asked about that on Capitol Hill yesterday, stumbled around on this.
Does that only apply to U.S. citizen that's overseas, or does that apply to U.S. citizen that's here as well?
I'd have to go back. I'm not certain whether that was addressed or not.
So that we have clarity here, he is not certain whether it was addressed, whether our government can kill our own people inside our own country. This really needs to be addressed. We can't just answer this question. No, the government doesn't kill our own people. We have a process for this. It's called the justice system. You file charges, you lock them up, you try them before a jury of their peers, and then that's how they don't kill our own people.
Okay, we'll stop right there. He goes over and talks to Judge Napolitano, and Judge Napolitano makes a great argument.
He's going to say a lot of the same things that we would say.
Exactly. And frankly, you know, I just wanted to talk about porn a little bit more. But no, it's nice to see Shepard Smith doing something like that, just on a personal level. I wasn't sure. Occasionally you see Shepard Smith and you don't know where he stands. I mean, clearly he's not acting here. He's pissed off. He's not happy.
It's interesting, too, unless the format of his show changes. Like, I mean, most of the day, Fox is as much news as any other cable news network is, which is like everything that goes on in the world is put into this funnel about, you know, the width of
that the editors select and so on. So it's
sure
it's
giving
news.
The same three stories all day long.
And then they pick and choose the experts to go to. Let's go to neoconservative expert number one, neoconservative expert number two. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Thanks for that expert opinion.
So, I mean, I think they know that they exist in whether they're doing news or commentary. And my understanding of this Shepard Smith, from what I know about him, I mean, I don't watch that much Fox, but he was a news guy, where somebody like Hannity or O'Reilly would be more like commentary guys, even though they can put them on a news channel. And most people who probably watch that don't really know the difference. And
most people may be tuning into the news for the first time at 8 p.m., and that's how they interface with the world, is through the mind and opinions of somebody like Bill O'Reilly. But if that is still a news show, yeah, he's clearly upset there.
And it's interesting. He sneaks in little commentaries once in a while, little deft little touches and so on. And especially when he has to interview someone, you know, his questions will be peppered with some opinions. And that was really nice to see. And, you know, again, it brings us back to the issue that we were discussing last hour about the assassination of Americans. But what strikes me is that he talked about the justice system. You know, we have, jury trial, you know, presentation of the evidence and all these things. But when you look at the history of the United States, what's happening now is clearly massively unconstitutional. But the Constitution hasn't really constrained presidents from doing what they really want to do in many cases.
No, we're not looking at anything new here. This is going on when Woodrow Wilson was president.
Yeah, when Abraham Lincoln was president.
Sure, that's 150 years ago.
When George Washington marched on the whiskey rebels, sure. So-called rebels. No, what I knew is they were just making whiskey and the government went after them to pay them a bunch of money.
Thomas Jefferson going over to the Middle East.
Yep.
And he tried his best to come up with some kind of justification or way that was okay as far as going through Congress to get funding or whatever. But still, same kind of stuff. I mean, this is always going on because this is what government is.
Yeah. And you know? What's interesting, though, is how conservatives or neoconservatives might bring these examples up so that you would not be able to argue with them about how there is supposed to be a system. They'll say, well, so-and-so didn't abide by the system. So-and-so, Thomas Jefferson didn't abide by the system. It's like, so what you're telling me is it's okay not to have a system.
Yeah, it's like little kids in the schoolyard, right? It's like, hey, don't throw that brick at that window.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he did it first.
Yeah, exactly. Thomas Jefferson threw a brick. You know, he listened to the U2 song. He threw a brick through a window.
The conservative media did the same thing, too. We remember the stories about maybe six and eight weeks ago, where I think it was in Afghanistan, where soldiers were peeing on dead bodies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So whoever these dead bodies belong to, you know, is immaterial here. Now, this goes to the conservative media, and they are like, oh, is this really a big deal? Did we forget about what these people did on 9/11?
Right.
So ultimately, the argument that they were putting forward was the U.S. military, they're not quite as bad as Al-Qaeda. You know, that was their defense.
That's right. Yeah.
The actions of these, I think they were Marines.
Well, it's the same thing with the burning of the Korans last week or 2 weeks ago, where you know, people like Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich are saying, well, why should America be apologizing? Why should America be apologizing? In other words, the government of the United States, why should it be apologizing? I said to some people, if you've got an occupying army in your town, and let's say you've got a bunch of Christian people living in your town, and they're burning the cross, I don't know, you know, for some weird reason, I think you've got a right to be a little teed off. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't even want to think about being in the shoes of these other folks. They don't even want to consider that stuff. Evidently, anything the United States does down there, they should be thankful for. You know, and
right.
it's just disgusting to me. But the thing that gets me is the way that this happens over and over again, and the way those people use that argument of, well, he threw the brick through the window, so I could throw it, just like you said, Jason. This, I think, you know, maybe we can explain to people, like, what does that tell you about what written constitutions who were signed by people for me? I didn't sign the Constitution. What that really means? It doesn't stop this stuff from happening. It's just a matter of who has the numbers and who's got the force behind it, right? I mean, should we really worship the Constitution this much to think that it's going to stop this from happening, or it's only going to happen when your good guy gets into office?
I don't know, Gardner. You talk about that Constitution thing an awful lot.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. See, so clearly the Constitution is not worth much, right?
It's a good way to point out the hypocrisy of the state and how we're kind of kept in contained by this idea. Well, we live in a nation of laws, and the expectation is that you'll follow laws,
right?
And, what the law says goes.
But then we look at what the laws or the constraints of the government are supposed to be, and they're operating outside of them by, you know, a factor of 20 or 30 as far as the power and the scope that the federal government has versus what it says they're supposed to be able to do.
And then people use these excuses that other people have done.
Right. Now, Mitt Romney said recently in a debate, he said something like, I couldn't even believe he said it. And I think I missed it. I did. I was doing a show about him, and I don't even think I covered this. We need to make sure that we stay within our constitutional principles. He's talking about the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, saying that we need to be able to do this within our constitutional principles. I can pick that up in a minute.
No problem. Brett will pick it up. 603-835-3360. That's how you get in touch with us. It's Liberty Conspiracy Radio.